Hello, hello, hello. Hey, Cosmo Drinkers. This is your girl, Lady Caramel, coming to you with another episode. Karma is real, so I think it's time for our Cosmos 888. So today's drink of the day is going to be the Raspberry Cosmo. The ingredients for this is 1.5 ounce of vodka, 1.5 ounce of cranberry juice, 1/2 ounce of orange liqueur, 1/2 ounce of raspberry liqueur, 1/2 ounce of fresh lime juice, 4 to 5 ice cubes, and raspberries for garnish. So, of course, you put your ice, you put your ingredients in, you shake it, and you shake it, and you bring it 8, and you shake it, and you shake it, and you pour it into your glass. Garnish it with your raspberries and listen to some Karma Cosmos. Hey y'all. So I went to visit my family this weekend, and you know, it had me thinking because my nieces and my nephews are crazy. Not in a bad way. They're a trip, and it had me thinking about, you know, how I grew up and how they're growing up now. And although it's similar, it's definitely different. But, you know, of course, before I can even talk about that, I have to get into the fact of I grew up with parents who weren't from this country. So in saying that, they were born and raised in a different country, came here, and then proceeded to start their family after being here. So that presented a whole new challenge. And I just think about the challenges they had to face when they, you know, when they got here, and making sure that their kids are okay and will transition, well, not transition, but will conform really to a new environment that they know nothing of. So that is one of the points I needed to make. Like, our parents kind of made sure that we conform to what was considered standard for the United States or for America, you know. I just think from even my brother to me, my brother's name is more of a, it's closer to a traditional Haitian name. And my name is more closer to a, even though it's more of a Hispanic name, but you would think it's an American name. Like, it's a long shot, but it's more, I can say I got more advantages with my name than he did with his. I got more callbacks from jobs because, you know, they thought I was probably a white female because of my name. So trying to conform to, you know, the mainstream and making sure that their children doesn't have a strong accent and learning the proper way to speak English and not, you know, the slang. Then a fact of, you know, trying to build that child spirit around Christianity and faith and religion and giving them the knowledge that they think is enough for them to go on in life and be successful. Although sometimes it's not enough, I can say that knowledge is power. And with knowledge, you can do a lot more. And I know growing up, I feel like there were times where I felt like my parents were still stuck in, you know, in their country in certain things, but I realize now that it's not that they were stuck in their country. They were just trying to protect me because of this country's history. They wanted to keep me safe. They didn't want me to be exposed to the negativity or to bad things happening. Although I am aware, and I don't think that the things that I brought to their attention that could have benefited me during those times would have harmed me, I can understand why they had reservations for it. You know, as simple as just going to a different school in a different district that is far away from my home, and just basically being one of those kids where they were trying to integrate schools in a different, you know, area. And although it would have benefited me to be around those students, my parents had reservations because they didn't want me to be racially profiled or be too far if things were to happen. And I understand it, but I knew that it was going to be more of a benefit than a harm for me. So, you know, I let them think on it. And sometimes it was like, it was just 2 seconds too late. But sometimes it was, yes, think on it. And then, you know, if I don't go to that school this year, I can always go next year, you know, type thing. So there are certain things like benefits that I felt like, okay, if I went to a better school and got that better knowledge, it helped propel me into a better career in a way. You know, thinking long term, although it was slightly because my friends was going there, but not really because I knew it was a magnet school. So anywho, we're not gonna go into that. But just like parents, when it came to, you know, equipping the children with knowledge, I feel like they lacked in certain areas, because I know I heard so many times when I asked my dad questions like, you know, tell me about your history, or why is it that I can't do this and can't do that, and the answer was always because I said so, or I don't know, or it was something very vague, and it was like, okay, well, I'm not going to go ahead and ask my next question because I already know that it's going to be no, or I don't know, or because I said so. So I feel like now children are getting more knowledge about things. They are getting those questions answered, and, you know, sometimes it is knowledge overload because they are informing themselves with a lot of things that I feel like can be too soon. But then you have those instances where if you don't feed the child with this knowledge sooner than later, you may miss that opportunity to give them that knowledge before it's too late. Or if they do face it, they won't know how to, you know, handle the situation, or they don't know how to come and talk to you about anything. So it's hard to say, okay, I'm not going to talk to my child until they're a teenager about sex, when the children are being exposed to sex sooner. You know, the songs that they sing, they're singing about sex and they don't even know it. And, you know, things like death, people are afraid of death, and we have to speak about it. We have to talk about it, and we have to talk about it in a way that's not necessarily negative or positive, but just general information so that they know how to equip themselves. They know how to handle situations when they come across them, because they will come across them, because you're not always around. And even at school, there's other kids that are in a different environment that are taught differently at home than they are at school, and they bring that information into school, and your child may be learning it from that person, and you don't want them to learn it from a friend. You want them to learn it from yourself. And I think about even the smallest things, as like, you know, drugs and alcohol that you see on the street, like the kids that's growing up in bad environments. It's an easy thing to say, you see that dude out there, you know, he's what you think he's doing out there? Do you think he's playing with his friends? Do you think that he's doing something that he's not supposed to? Or, you know, just, I'm not saying that, you know, voluntary information, but, you know, just let your child know, yeah, they're selling drugs, they're in a gang, and I will show you at another point what happens to those people, or, you know, what could happen to those people. And like, I heard Monica speak on how she was teaching her kids, because she, as we know on the show, she works in the morgue. So it's very easy for her to, you know, show her kids, well, this dude, he died because he was in a gun battle for a gang, because he was selling drugs on somebody, another gang's block, or, you know, something like that. And her kids are very calm, and they're very intelligent, and they're gaining this knowledge so that they know how to equip themselves. They're not, they're getting educated in other areas of Atlanta. You know, they're not just in the upper area where they stay. They attend classes like gymnastics or basketball or whatever in other communities, even low income communities, so that, you know, they're around these people. They know where their mom came from. They have the back history for things. And, you know, it just helps them in a way. And I'm not saying that we all should, you know, do that, but it's just, you can take that information and try to work it into what's best for you, how best you feel comfortable, because you do have to feel comfortable talking to your children about things like that. But yeah, the whole conforming, when my parents got here, it's obvious that by the time that they got to their fifth child, which was me, the way that they raised me was different from the way they raised my brother. I definitely was able to do a lot more than he was. Just like sleepovers, for instance, they're hands down, when I first like started asking my parents if I can sleep at somebody's house, it was always a no. Always. Like, you're not sleeping over anyone's house. And then it got to a point where it was like, well, can I go to my auntie's house? And, you know, after asking time after time, it became a yes instead of a no. And then there was one particular best friend that I had since daycare, and we went to church together, so our families were close. So it got to a point where they trusted that person enough, and that adult and that child, for me to actually go over there and spend some time with her, and, you know, look at their family dynamic. And then she got to come over and spend some time with us and see our family dynamic. And my brothers and sisters used to be like, we never got the opportunity to do something like that. Like, what are you, spoiled? But it wasn't the fact that I'm spoiled. It's the fact that times are changing. Things are different now. And I do think that they were understanding that, and they were being a little more lenient. And I mean, I don't think I turned out too bad. But I look at even when my nephews were talking and how they were getting ready to go to school, because school is starting next week. And my niece is like, yeah, I'm going to get the new Jordans. And I'm like, yeah, me No. I wore uniform because most of the schools down south was uniform schools, which I'm fine with because I didn't have to pick out my wardrobe every day and have to worry about that because I suck at trying to pick out clothes sometimes. Like, I try to get as much time sleeping as possible. Give me to the last 15 minutes to get up and take a shower and get out of the house. But yeah, so even wardrobe has become a bigger thing, and it's another way that, you know, bullying has come about, and that's probably another reason why I do love uniform, and I truly appreciate every school that I went to, because I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the uniform, because yeah, my parents couldn't afford no Jordans for me. I was child number 5. So yes, I got hand-me-downs. So, I mean, I did, for beginning of school, we always did go shopping. That was one thing that I can always remember. We went shopping the beginning of school, Easter, and Christmas. Those were the three that I definitely knew I was getting new clothes for. But I don't, yeah. My nieces and nephews looking cute and stuff. They feel that'd be great for school, but I'm just amazed at how different, you know, and how important it is for them to present themselves in a certain way when they're supposed to be just going to school, getting, you know, an education and learning skills to help them succeed in life. And you know, another reason why all this bullying is starting because of clothes and wardrobe, and your family can afford this and my family can't. And then it goes into, oh, you're ugly and you're this and you can't afford to have a phone like me. And, you know, just all of this stuff is just so much for these kids. But yeah, we're not going to go into that because that's a whole different situation, especially after all these shootings that happened this weekend. I'm just amazed that society is reverting a little bit. But, you know, like they say, history repeats itself. So that's why we need to equip ourselves with the knowledge in order to know how to proceed and what to change in order to help things progress and get a little better. I just feel like we should all accept one another no matter what, where we're from, what we look like, how we speak, and I do want parents to know that although their child is young, they do have a voice. We don't always have to accept what they're saying as facts or as this is what's going to happen, because we're the parent and we are supposed to be guiding them and leading them into something greater. So I do feel like we have to continue to answer these questions that they ask us, and we have to do it gracefully and in a way to help build them. It's too much going on for them not to know. And I just think even my coworker today, her kids they went to the principal of their school and was concerned because the school was building like a fence, but it was more, I guess, like a wall or whatever. And they thought it was going to be a certain height. It turns out they were making it higher. And the kids were wondering, you know, if there was a shooting in our school, how would we get out? how would the little kids get out? Because, you know, they can't jump a wall like we can, or a fence like we can. They're too short. And principal was amazed that, you know, these kids are worried about their safety and want to make sure that it's being addressed before the school semester even starts and before they finish building this wall. And I mean, granted, one of the little kids is their little brother, but you know, that's great because they're thinking about the future generations and not just themselves, and being able to use their knowledge to help find a solution that may be better for the school that they may not even have thought of. And, you know, having that voice to actually speak to someone and having someone listen is great. And I do feel like we need to stay aware and be mindful and use that knowledge at school, at work, wherever. I know sometimes, you know, it can get stifled and you may feel like you're not being heard, or you just start to feel, I guess, inadequate, especially stuff like at work or whatever. But just know that that knowledge is power, and you can use that knowledge for greatness wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever field, whatever, you know, situation you're in, whoever you're speaking to. And just use that knowledge for good. And that's it. So thank you all for listening. I hope to hear from you on my Instagram, lady_caramel. And if you guys have any topics or any questions, definitely DM me and let me know at karma_cosmos. Sorry, blanked out a little bit there. And I'll definitely try to go ahead and mention that and put that in the podcast next week. So thank you for listening, and bye.